I would rather someone show me they love me rather than tell me they love me. I'd rather someone show me. I'm not from Missouri, but you got to show me. Faith without action is belief, and belief is not faith, and it denies the responsibility actions of faith. Boy, this is why faith is pawned off as belief all the time. It's easy to believe. It's a different thing to have faith.
Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Jay Tyler from Holt Assembly of God, and I want to welcome you to this broadcast of Life in the Spirit. Here in just a moment, you'll be hearing a message that I recently shared with our congregation at Holt Assembly of God. The message you'll be hearing today is part of a series that's entitled Faith. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And throughout the Word of God, we see that God responds to faith. It's my hope that through this series, your faith is encouraged. The Apostle Paul tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I pray that you are challenged, blessed, and encouraged as you hear the Word of God shared in this message. Today's message is part 3 of a denying faith.
Why is that? Because actions speak louder than words. Ladies, a man sleeping around on you doesn't love you. Gentlemen's the same way. I don't care how much they say it, how graceful they sound. The fact of the matter is they love themselves more than they love you. And their greatest desire is for themselves. Now, no matter how sweet and genuine the words are, now tie this into our relationship with God. This is how some of us handle our relationship with God. We are in bed with the world. We are in bed with everyone else but God. Are you following me? And He's the lover of our lives. No, He's not. You can say it. You can pretend it. You can deceive yourself. But the proof is in the pudding. The proof is in your actions. Actions speak louder, and faith speaks through actions. There are many people who believe in Jesus because they don't want to go to hell. And I understand that. I get that. I don't want to go to hell. I don't want anyone to go to hell. But they won't let the Holy Spirit change them. That's the big key. See, when you're born again, the Holy Spirit comes inside of you and He changes you immediately. The polarity of your heart changes. Eventually this occurs. A faith without words, or a faith of words, excuse me. A faith that's on the surface, but underneath in the heart, their integrity, their attitudes, it's dead. Without ongoing evidence of a born again, Spirit-filled life. I would rather someone show me they love me rather than tell me they love me. I'd rather someone show me. I'm not from Missouri, but you got to show me. Faith without action is belief, and belief is not faith, and it denies the responsibility actions of faith. Boy, this is why faith is pawned off as belief all the time. It's easy to believe. It's a different thing to have faith. See, if we lack the want to inside, hear me, if you're not hearing anything else, and maybe this is not for you, maybe it's for someone else, but if you lack the want to inside, there's a problem. The want to love God and obey His commands. The want to please God and to serve Him. The desire to live your life for Him. Listen, if you have an issue with what I just said, you don't have an issue with me, you have an issue with Jesus. Because He said, if you love Him, you will obey my commands, period. There are many people in our community and other religious communities just like ours who have a conception of faith, a faith without an expression of faith. They have religion, they have traditions, they have creeds, they have beliefs. And these are dead, and these are powerless, and they are unable to transform and convert the soul. But they won't admit it. And they just continue on in death. And they can't understand, why is there not life? Why do I not feel something? Why do I not experience something? Because you're dead inside. That's why. I'm praying that someone out here is hearing me today. Galatians 2:20. Paul writes this, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live. Me, myself, I, my flesh. But Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. What does the evidence say? What does the evidence say, Christian? What do the actions prove? A life crucified with Christ, or some nice words and some pipe dreams? I'm not perfect. I've been very transparent before. I don't have to do it in every sermon. I know that. But I'm not perfect, and I'm not saying that we have to be perfect in order to inherit the kingdom of God. However, I am saying this. We should have a desire to be more like Jesus. And if we don't, something's missing. And we should have a track record of following Jesus. Because that's the other thing. Some people, I have a desire to follow, but where's your track record? Where's the track record? Where's the proof? Where's the evidence? See, we can't forget about that, because what we do is we gravitate back over into belief, back into conception, back into a mental salvation. Pastor, do I have to obey the commands of Jesus in order to get to heaven? Listen, if that's what you're thinking, you're missing it. Go back to point A already. Go back to the front, back of the line, start again, because you missed it somewhere. Somewhere you missed it already. Don't you want to obey the commands of your Savior who loved you and gave himself for you? Don't you love it? Listen, I'm not saying this. If you love Jesus, that you don't get irritated with people, because they can sure get under your skin sometimes. In your anger, don't sin. There's concession. I'm just saying this. Do you possess the track record? Do you have the track record of doing the right thing? Pastor, are you saying we're saved by works? Absolutely not. We are saved by grace. However, it's realized through, say it, faith. And faith is more than believing. I am saved by grace through faith. I've repented of my sins. I've experienced new birth. The power of the Holy Spirit has made me a new creation. God has given me new desires. And day by day, as I die to the flesh, and that's a responsibility for the believer, to die to the flesh, to yield to the flesh, because the flesh is not saved. Your mind, your will, and emotions are not saved. They have to be transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. They have to yield. They have to be conformed. That's the clay that needs to be up on the wheel, that needs to be shaped. You're born again. Your spirit's born again. But the soul is the place, isn't it? I yield to the Holy Spirit. I'm becoming more and more like Jesus, and that's faith with action. That's faith with action. I fall short in sin. I don't make excuses. I repent. I take responsibility for my error. But I don't just keep on doing the same thing, saying, God, forgive me. Now give me grace. God, forgive me. Give me grace. You've already missed it again. My desire is to continue to move forward, seeking the Lord, pleasing him. Why? Because I love him. Saved by grace through faith. But the grace of God does not render us powerless and unable to choose and unable to abide in Christ. That's why you have to live by faith. Walk by faith, not by sight. Grace does not render our actions meaningless. The grace of God does not make us unaccountable for our actions. In fact, it's the opposite. The grace of God makes us more responsible for our actions. We cannot abide in Christ by belief. We abide in Christ by faith. Faith is action based on a belief, sustained by confidence. God doesn't give us grace to go out and do what we want to do and still be saved. God doesn't give us grace so we can go out and mess up. God gives us grace so that we can succeed. God gives us grace so we can abide by faith. God gives us grace, allowing the working of the Holy Spirit to create in us a pure heart to be more like Jesus. God gives us grace to be doers of the word, not just hearers of the word. God gives us grace to obey the commands of Jesus. God gives us grace to be more and more like Jesus. I'm tired of hearing people say this, who claim to know Jesus but don't know Jesus. I don't know what Jesus they're smoking. I'm tired of people who claim to know Jesus. They don't know Jesus. They know about him. Listen, I don't know about you. I've read books on Abraham Lincoln, Robert E. Lee, George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, and I know facts and things about them, but I don't know them. I don't know them. And see, this is how some people know Jesus. Now, they can read the Word of God and say they know him, but they don't know him because, see, what happens is there's a revelation that takes place only if you're born again. And if you don't believe me, watch the History Channel. Watch Discovery, especially when they have stories about the Bible. And how can they miss it? How can they miss it by so much when they're reading the same text that we read? You know why? Because they're not born again. Because when you're born again, this thing becomes alive to you. It speaks to you. There's revelation. It understands. You get it in your knower. You understand in your heart. Try to make sense of this word not being saved. You'll be confused as the day is long. And that's what happens with a lot of people. But they think they're saved because they believe. But they get all messed up. Use Scripture to validate their behavior. Lord, help us. All right, I'm on the home stretch here. 1 Timothy 4:1. Now, the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times, look at this, please, some will depart from the faith. Yes. It means you have to be a part of the faith to depart from the faith. Yes. Giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. The Bible talks about a day, and he's speaking to Christians. He's warning where the faithful will depart from the faith. Just because you are born again doesn't mean you cease to have responsibility of will. You have responsibility. Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says in the last days, and by the way, we're living in the last days, when Jesus was taken up to heaven, that began the last days. People will depart from the faith. They will abandon the faith for doctrines that are inspired of the flesh and doctrines that are inspired by spiritual beings other than God. Look at this, 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 to 5. Pay very careful attention to this. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. Verse 2, men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Verse 5, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. I believe Paul is describing a faith without action. A faith that believes certain things but is powerless to transform the inward being of a man. A form of godliness, a faith that denies the power of God. Denies it not in belief, not in conception, by action. Isn't it crazy that the same Spirit who raised Christ from the dead lives in you? That's what the Bible says. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in you and I. But yet we call ourselves Christians, we claim to be a Christian, and we are not changed. Now how can that be? There's something wrong. I believe Paul is describing a faith without action. I'm not talking about perfectionism. It goes back to the want to, the desires of your heart. And then do you have a track record? And that track record doesn't mean it's perfect all the time. It's the tracking of your life forward, so to speak. Upward, how about that? Or is it earthly? Listen, you may, as you serve God, you may get off the path here and there, but you're continuing to move forward, pressing on. There are perversions in the body of Christ concerning faith. And that's why we need to read the Bible, define faith from the entire counsel of God's Word, not just some misconstrued, misunderstood scriptures. For by grace you've been saved through faith. We are powerless. Do you know this? We are powerless in regards to grace. We have no power of grace. That's God's responsibility. Grace is what God gives us. We're powerless in grace. And what I mean is this. We can't do anything. We can't get grace. We can't manufacture grace. Grace is given to us, expressed to us through Christ Jesus, through the sacrifice of God's Son. That belongs to God. That responsibility of grace, because we're saved by grace through faith. So let's put this in an equation. That belongs to God. Grace does. The other part is left to who? To us. But here's the good news. God gives every person in His grace, I believe grace before there was even grace, so to speak, gives us faith to receive Him. Because every person receives a measure of faith at creation. Every person on planet Earth has a measure of faith, but they then have a responsibility to respond to the grace of God revealed through Christ Jesus. Since we are created free will, we have the responsibility to respond to the grace of God by faith. And if we got faith messed up, we're in trouble. Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. Hebrews 11:6. Does your faith have action, or does your faith deny the power of God?
I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to this broadcast of Life in the Spirit. The Word of God calls us to walk by faith and not by sight. It's my hope that your faith has been encouraged by this message. If you're not attending a house of worship and you're looking for a church home, I want to invite you to come and worship with us Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. or join us Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. for our family night. We have ministry opportunities for all ages, children, youth, and adults. Holt Assembly of God is located at 540 3rd Avenue in Holt, Florida. Our phone number is 850-537-8351, or our web address is www.holtag.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Instagram. Until our next broadcast of Life in the Spirit, May God bless you as you serve the Lord Jesus with a grateful heart.